I think that this whole notion of listening is so powerful, but it's not just listening for listening's sake. It's listening to help us become better, smarter marketers. It's listening to help us become more consumer-centric. It's listening to help make sure that we don't jump over the cliff. It's listening to make sure that we have radar to guide those critical decisions that we need to make when ROI is so important.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have a repeat guest who came back by incredible demand, and he was very generous to spend some time with, or is very generous in spending some time with us today, and it's Peter Blackshaw of Nielsen Buzz Metrics. He's CMO there, and his podcast is one of my most violently downloaded podcasts on Marketing Voices, and so he is going to talk to us today about the latest and best practices in metrics. And just so all of you know that Nielsen Buzz Metrics was just nominated by Forrester Research, or spoken about by Forrester Research, as the leader in brand monitoring and measurement. And they're really the global measurement standard in consumer-generated media. So I feel very fortunate to have Peter back on the show again today. So Peter, thank you so much for coming and joining me on Marketing Voices.
Thank you very much. They must have the wrong guy if they're downloading my last podcast.
No, believe me, it is. It's like 2x what some of the other ones are. So to that point, what are sort of the latest and hottest trends and practices in the measurement of consumer-generated media today that you can share?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, first off, the space continues to evolve and morph and iterate, which is partly what makes it so darn exciting. And with every evolution, the stakes are higher and higher for marketers, because what we have is consumers are embracing a more diverse and powerful range of megaphones to talk about all manner of issues, and brands are implicated. So what we're trying to do, you know, just for perspective, Nielsen, took a 51% interest in a roll-up of a number of companies, and we've been trying to mash up the two capabilities, the customer sets, the technologies, and we are, and it's coming together really, really nicely, and we're now starting to develop, a scalable set of metrics that will be largely reflected in syndicated reports. There'll certainly be some ongoing custom work for key clients that have very unique needs. But, the way we're thinking about it is, our core metrics and measurements are very much at the heart of our value proposition and competitive advantage. And we're providing metrics that provide, standards, norms, and benchmarks for clients that are looking to measure their own brand and see where they fit in the larger category or industry context. And we're very, very sensitive to this emerging need by especially the CMO to measure with ROI precision, the talk value, And the nice thing about CGM, unlike offline word of mouth, is that it's highly measurable. I mean, you can really quantify all these different data sources and look at different things. So as we develop our kind of product development roadmap, we think about, metrics along the following lines. We have what we call, attributes, and then we have formal metrics, and then we have what we call scores. And the attributes are things such as where we might take a cluster of commentary and break it into specific issues. If I'm looking at, electronics, for example, is our biggest category, and you might look at an attribute might be something like the specific issue. Were they talking about, customer service, or were they talking about billing or some other pain point? Attribute might also be the source. Was it from blogs? Was it from message boards? Was it from Usenet? Was it from YouTube? Was it from, some other area? It might be the segment. The segment is the specific audience that you're looking at. And the segments are really interesting, because we now can, take our range of data and boil it into life stage segments, segments that, loosely represent different demographics. Although, frankly, I think the bigger idea is segments by lifestyle and influence versus demographics. We'll look at things like polarity, which is positive or negative, or type of emotion. And we all know from marketing that, you know, emotion, hierarchies of emotion typically lead most brand strategy documents. And that's typically you're trying to hit certain emotional attributes in your media spend and in your messaging. And then the metrics get into issues such as, so those are attributes. And on the metric side, they might get into things like volume, share, favorability, depth of influence. We have something we call dispersion, which is very interesting, especially on the crisis management side, which is to what extent did the negative commentary jump the shark or jump the fence to multiple boards. Some conversation tends to jump to multiple message boards. And then we have we look at things such as engagement, which has become a really big term in the industry right now, probably a little bit overhyped, but I think it does reflect a deeper level of involvement. And then the third category, as though that's not enough,
is
what we would call, but no, we take this very seriously because marketers
obviously
are really pushing us hard for frameworks to analyze. Okay, what is success? What's failure? Then we're getting into what we call scores, and this is where the marriage with the Nielsen Network is getting really interesting, and it's partly what makes my job so interesting to wake up to every day. This is where we might look at things such as a CGM site score, which is to what extent does your website positively impact conversation, you know, to what extent things like buzz GRPs or blog ranking scores or something we might call the CGM service track, where we might look at, you know, to what extent does your customer service contribute to positive or negative CGM. And in some cases, we might just look at CGM in isolation, but often we'll start to take other data sources and blend it into the mix. So next time you interview me, you know, I'll probably be talking a lot about how our latest score integrated Nielsen Media Research data or Nielsen Net Ratings data or AC Nielsen shopper data into the overall mix. And we're just starting to get into that. I personally find that really, really exciting because I think marketers can really relate to the full holistic integration of these different data sources.
Oh my God, it is amazing. But this is all software based, obviously, very, you know, data analytics. And so for, I mean, you're talking about Fortune 500 companies. I mean, what does a company who really can't afford to do it your way kind of, you know, have to think about? Do you feel like these kind of segmentations are as key to them as they would be obviously to a Coke or a Toyota?
Well, the good news on the internet, I do think there's a beautiful feedback loop that's readily available to all. I mean, clearly there are some levels of depth and rigor that you can't get into through free and readily available tools. But, you know, in some cases, you can get the 80 for the 20. I mean, think about it. You and I are bloggers, and, you know, we can certainly exercise, you know, great feedback loops to figure out how we're doing, you know, with some degree of granularity. And I think there's a lot of entry points for people to start to figure some of this out. And I think generally the nice thing is even with some of the, you know, readily available, you know, low-cost or free tools, you start to find that, you know, online analytics provide a higher level of, you know, accountability and measurement than a lot of the, you know, offline tools that we've, you know, used in the past. It really does well measure, and obviously we take it to a much deeper level. And, you know, and the nice thing about, you know, our levels, we can actually go back, you know, 3 years or so and really look at a much, much broader volume of data and track over time. But absolutely. In fact, a lot of our clients start, you know, they start on, you know, training wheels, and they'll kind of use the readily available tools, and then they'll kind of get a little bit addicted to the measurements, and then they'll say, we want more. We actually use BlogPulse pretty aggressively as a product development tool because we have so many people that use it for free. We are glued to how people use it, what aspects of interface design do they find sticky and useful. I mean, think about it. If you're going to charge clients for a paid tool, you certainly want to get some good data in terms of how people really find, you know, the usefulness of certain applications. And you're always humbled by the data. You know, we've learned, for example, that profiles is a pretty big deal. People really do like to understand a blogger's profile, which intuitively makes sense. We want to understand influence, right? So therefore, based on that data, we may dial up our commentary in our analysis with clients around influence, or we may dial up the way we develop our next generation reporting interface, our paid interface, based on some of those insights.
Right. Okay. So what about measurement of podcasts? What are you doing there at this point? Is there anything
that's developed?
Well,
I put that in the category of CGM squared or consumer generated multimedia. And, you know, you can do things like presence tagging where you know in the context of the CGM that there is an audio file of some sort. You certainly could, you know, there's certainly software out there that can translate the podcast and then basically apply the same text mining technology that we apply. We're just flirting with that right now. I wouldn't say that's kind of the biggest demand area with our customers. We're applying the same thinking to the areas of video. We're just starting to get into, you know, ranking videos. You can actually get a very early sense for that on Blog Pulse. We're now ranking videos, but we'll take that to a much deeper level. But definitely a bit more, I mean, to get to the quick answer, you know, a bit more challenging than text analytics, but certainly well within the realm of possibility as more software is popping into the system. And it probably would be premature for me to say anything beyond that, but
we definitely
have a lot of engineers tackling a lot of these emerging issues.
Right, well, let's consider that sort of a lead into maybe our next interview. Okay, so switching gears here. Now, you blogged a lot about this listing-centered marketing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting. I'm always trying to think about frameworks that people can relate to and don't unnecessarily silo themselves into legacy thinking. And you know, this is the notion of, you know, is it research that we do? Is it next generation measurements? And I think that this whole notion of listening is so powerful. But it's not just listening for listening's sake. It's listening to help us become better, smarter marketers. It's listening to help us become more consumer-centric. It's listening to help make sure that we don't jump over the cliff. It's listening to make sure that we have radar to guide those critical decisions that we need to make when ROI is so important. And so I think that what's so powerful about listening today is not only, you know, monitoring CGM, but I think there's going to be a whole rebirth in thinking around customer relationship marketing. I mean, right now, if you think about it, you know, most, you know, listening is generally treated as a cost center activity. In fact, if you go and you look at feedback forms for most Fortune 500 companies, it's still very much in the attention reduction category.
Right.
Whereas most marketers are hemorrhaging all this cash on, you know, trying to acquire attention. And
yeah.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to see this powerful convergence where, you know, marketers, you know, in addition to monitoring blogs and message boards and forums, more marketers are going to focus on their own direct feedback pipe. And they are going to listen attentively to their most vocal consumers, and they're going to capitalize that on in a very big way. And the big bonus there is that, and we know this from tons of research that we've done, is that the same consumers that tend to open up and talk to companies, whether positive or negative or just offering suggestions, are the same consumers that are disproportionately represented on blogs, message boards, forums, ratings and review sites, and definitely on YouTube. And I think that what marketers are going to need to really crack the code on is how do we open up our listening pipe so that we are conversationally conversant in the same way that these consumers talk externally. So, for example, it's easier to post a nasty gram related to a company on YouTube than it is to send it directly to the company. It's much easier to post a photograph implicating a company on Flickr, Webshots, or all these other sites than to send it directly to the company. And this is where we need to re-engineer the way we think about CRM. And so I think that listening-centered marketing is basically saying that, listen, the future of marketing is all about how we develop both offensive and, you know, and defensive radar in understanding what consumers are saying to guide better decisions and ultimately win consumer loyalty. Because consumers today are definitely rendering judgment on companies based on the extent to which they respect their voice.
Yeah,
no,
it's very, no, we see it a lot. And my biggest thing about all of this is all these marketers that we deal with, or many of them, I should say, have such a fear factor for doing exactly what you're saying. And it's like I try to get them to the point where we discuss it to just realize that they've got to jump in and just start doing it. But so many of them are afraid. So how do you get them over that fear?
I actually think it's less about fear than legacy processes. I think if you really do a systematic analysis of Fortune 500 companies, you will find that the people that manage the listening pipe are divorced from the people that buy the marketing activity.
Very astute of you. That's
no.
Really,
no.
I mean, think about it.
I mean, yeah. who is Siebel and all the CRM system? They're not serving the marketers. They are serving operations. And the economics, go to their website, read that literature. It's all about attention reduction. How do I minimize time with the consumer? How do I, you know, minimize contacts, and that is an operations principle that basically says this is cost center, not profit center. And meanwhile, you've got just tons of money being pumped into word-of-mouth marketing and find me the influencers. I mean, I started the Word-of-Mouth Marketing Association. They're up to 400 people or not, and everyone's, you know, everyone's lathered up about, you know, advocacy, but no one is thinking about it in the context of the most critical component, which is not, you know, I don't want to say categorically, there's some companies, but by and large, you know, very few people are thinking about advocates in their own backyard. Everyone wants to find them externally. And part of the issue is that nobody wants to disrupt. You know, it's more friction-free to go to an agency and say, find me influencers, than to try to knock on the Consumer Affairs Department and say, hey, let's meld our organizations together.
So
is what companies companies need to think about CGM as an energy source to bring that unity, and stockholders and shareholder value will be tremendously served by that, because right now there's tremendous discontinuity and inefficiency in the siloed structures.
Wow. Very powerful. So who is doing it right, in your opinion?
Well, I think everyone who is beginning to, whether they're using our firm or our competitors, whether it's, you know, Brand Dimensions or Symphony, or even, you know, doing some of the stuff on their own, I think the companies that are tapping into the consumer voice are beginning to make those critical connections. And one of the things that's so cool about our job is that, you know, we'll typically start by selling directly to the brand manager, and then a couple months into the engagement, the researchers start knocking on the doors and saying, we need to see those reports. And then Consumer Affairs knocks on the door and says, we need to see those reports. And so, and it's funny, I've been in meetings with Fortune 500 companies where people have said to me, it wasn't until you came here to do this report that we all saw each other.
Oh my gosh.
So I would say what's working, I think the process of listening, I mean, listen, there's nothing like the energy that throwing a consumer on the table brings.
Yeah, no kidding.
And there's nothing like the power.
Yeah.
I mean, I romanticize the power of systematic analysis, but there's nothing like the power of an individual story to motivate a CEO.
Yeah, no kidding, because that's where, like in focus groups in the old days, where people, you know, you'd have CEOs go in and watch these focus groups through, you know, one-way mirrors, and they'd start jumping up and down in the room. So that's what you're doing, yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, consumers are an energy force, and people are very self-conscious about how consumers feel and think about them. It's just that they don't necessarily have a real lens into those thoughts and reactions. And I think that as we see more transparency in the marketplace, that is to say, financial analysts are now dipping into consumer opinions about brands, product launches, and the like, I think there's a much higher level of sensitivity about how consumers react.
Gosh, you're right. Well, I think we could go on for hours, but I think this has been very provocative. So thank you so much, Pete Blackshaw.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
This is great. So this has been Peter Blackshaw, who's the CMO of Nielsen Buzzmetrics, and this is a really standard, gold standard measurement company. It is really
listening-centered marketing.
Yeah, listening-centered marketing. I was going to say, that's what we talked about before the interview. And
no, we're officially a research company.
I know, but as we said, you know, research is always sort of one of those words that people always think negatively about. It's kind of like PR and real estate. So anyway, the bottom line is, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Congrats on all your success. Keep podcasting away, and we'll nail the measurement standard next time we talk.
Yeah, no, we are. We really need help with the measurement on podcasting. So to all the Marketing Voices community out there, until next week, thank you so much for listening, and may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.